On this week's episode of What the Puck, the E-Rat era is over. Penner I-hops a plane to DC, and Orlov sits out for two games. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. Joining me, as always, we got my good buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
A lot, apparently, in the NHL right now, especially with Washington Capitals. How you doing?
You know what? I'm doing good. It is, it is past normal working hours for you and I, but the Caps, George McPhee, burning the midnight oil almost, pretty much. We are coming down to the deadline for trades, and there's been a lot of movement. I gotta say, not just for the Caps, but the entire NHL, this is kind of crazy, because the last couple years have been really quiet, but we've seen some huge trades, and the deadline isn't even until Wednesday, March 5th.
Yeah, I mean, it's the silly season, and things have gotten a little crazy, and we'll go into depth more with some of the trades that have gone on recently, but the Caps were pretty noisy today, and I didn't expect that. I expected them to make some moves tomorrow, but some people were expecting them to do nothing at all, but they were finally able to get out from under the Martin Erat trade. It goes down as one of the worst trades that George McPhee has ever made as general manager of the Washington Capitals, and trading Philip Forsberg for Marty Erat, and I'm blanking on his name at the moment. It's terrible.
Mike Lotta.
Thank you, Michael Lotta. It was a terrible trade, and he finally was able to get out from under it. It's still, I mean, it's a good trade in the end, getting rid of Erat, but it was a gigantic mistake from the beginning, and definitely one that is going to haunt him for a very long time. But they're able to get out of it, and they sent him and prospect John Mitchell to Phoenix for defenseman Rostislav Klesla, prospect Chris Brown, no, not that one, and a fourth-round pick in 2015. So the Marty Erat era is over with the Washington Capitals. I think he finishes, people have been tweeting, something like 2 goals and 26 assists in 68 games. Not the best statistics, but Erat is gone. And that happened just moments ago?
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of crazy. You and I were discussing when we could actually record, and it's a good thing we waited until 8 o'clock tonight, because if we were like 45 minutes earlier, we would have missed all of this Erat stuff.
I mean, it would be kind of fun, because I was getting ready actually with my notes, and we were getting ready to start. And I saw something about Erat, and I was like, what? And then everything kind of went crazy. I was like, oh, my God, Erat's going to break a trade, lied while recording. But, yeah, he's gone. And then the bigger news was sort of the move from earlier today that I did not see this one coming. I really have been wanting them to go out and get a top six forward, but I didn't expect it to be Dustin Penner. But Penner's actually – I don't know if he's still in the air now, but he's on his way to play for the Washington Capitals. I think he's flying to Philly, and right, he's hoping to make it in time for the morning skate tomorrow. But the Caps acquired Dustin Penner from Anaheim for a fourth-round pick. He's actually the fourth-round pick they got from Anaheim when they sent them Matty P earlier in the season. So I thought that was kind of funny that they sent it back to them. And that Penner's deal is actually up at the end of the season. Same thing with Klesla. But I could see if Klesla plays well, I could see him sticking around maybe. But he's got to play really well. And Klesla and Brown both are going to be sent to Hershey to start. So we'll see what happens there. But Penner, I mean, he's an older guy, but he's not that old. I can actually see him sticking around. He could be that Mike Knuble replacement that this team has been looking for, or at least you and I have been looking for, to play on that first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom potentially. He's not as good as he was, you know, years ago, but he still could, you know, get in front of the net and score goals, and we'll see how this thing works out. But if he plays well, I could see the Caps keeping him around, of course, depending on his cap hit.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing, whether or not he's going to stay around or not is the price tag. But, yeah, I was very happy with him being brought in. I'm very excited to see what he does in a Caps jersey. I love the fact that after everything happened, he tweeted out to Ovechkin, and he used a quote from Rounders, you know, talking about Teddy KGB. I don't know if you're a fan of that movie. It's one of my favorites.
It's like a young man coming in for a quickie. I feel so unsatisfied.
Sorry.
I caught that.
Yeah, but I absolutely love the fact that he did that. I like his attitude already.
He seems like a goofball.
Yeah, he does, and that's what this team really needs. I mean, you got Ovechkin, who's a pretty big goofball himself, so I think he's going to fit in well with this locker room. But something that a lot of people have been bringing up, you brought up the whole Mike Knuble thing going on the first line, that this could be the guy to replace him. But a lot of people were bringing up the fact that he has two Stanley Cup rings, you know. He's hoisted the cup over his head twice now, which is a huge deal. That talk about him being experienced, him being a veteran, and having that Stanley Cup experience behind him, that reminds me a lot of Jason Arnott. Maybe not the same thing about the Stanley Cups, but the fact that he was a veteran, that he's had a lot of experience behind him, and we all know how the Jason Arnott thing panned out for the Capitals. So hopefully this is a better fit, because he does have two Stanley Cups. He's been around the league for a little bit, and like you said, he's a goofball. He's got a sense of humor, which I think you kind of need with these guys in the locker room.
Well, I think you can be a goofball as much as you want off the ice. Beyond the ice, you better be serious and get ready to play, because this team has still got a lot of work to do before they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, some of the guys are talking about it like they're going to, and it's not a set thing. This team is not guaranteed a playoff spot. It's much harder to get to the playoffs now than it has been in the past, so they can't play around. Bringing in a guy who can score goals and, you know, as a veteran in this league, you know, hopefully he can fit into the locker room. It seems like, you know, like we were saying, he's a goofy guy. He said something today when they're asking him about if he's going to play tomorrow against the Flyers, and he said something along the lines of, "I hope so, otherwise I rushed for nothing." You know, so he wants to play. He wants to get out there and show people that he can play. And I think this was a great pickup, especially for only a fourth-round pick, and not even their fourth-round pick, the one they got from Anaheim. So I think this is a great move by McPhee. I think both trades today, I mean, you had to get rid of Erat, and you're never going to get anything as good as Forsberg in return. So both moves that McPhee has made today, I thought, were great moves in the end to help this team. But his work is certainly not done yet. They still need to get a defenseman to play with Mike Green. And I swear to God, if he trades for a goalie, I'm going to kill him. I mean, every goalie it seems like the Capitals are linked with, someone else picks them up. So I guess that's kind of good. But, like, don't do it, George. Just don't do it.
Yeah, so far the Caps have been linked to Miller, Luongo, and Halak. And I don't want to see the goalie situation change here in Washington. I like our goaltenders. I think they can get the job done. I think the big thing right now is, like you said, it is defenseman. It's getting a defenseman out here and seeing what's out there and what you can get. We can talk a little bit about this now. You know, there's been some trouble for Dmitry Orlov. He's been suspended for two games for a boarding hit, a really nasty, dumb hit in the Flyers game this past Sunday. And then we hear that Jack Hillen has been recalled. You brought this up last week, and we better not hear anybody say, well, you know, Jack Hillen, he hasn't been on the team for so long. This is just like getting a new defenseman on this team. I don't agree with that.
Not even a little bit. It's nice to see Hillen playing, and with Orlov being suspended for two games, they have someone that can come in and fill in and play. He's not necessarily the exact same game, but he's an offensive-minded defenseman. Hopefully he can stay healthy and play more than half of a period or something this time. But going back to Orlov, I mean, that was just a dumb, dumb play. He deserves the two games. I expect him to at least get one. Two is a little surprising, but it was a dumb move. You know, he let his emotions get the best of him. He was mad that Braden Schenn had lit him up moments before and decided to take it out on him again, and he left his feet, boarded him from behind. It was a dumb move. It was a dumb play on his part. And I think, you can argue the case, but I think he cost the Capitals 2 points in that game. They were up, what, two goals with right around 10 minutes left to play when he took the dumbass penalty. And then they go and they score one of theirs during the five-minute major, and then they get that other one to tie it up, and then they score in overtime. So it's Orlov, he screwed up big there, and it may in the end help him. He's going to miss, what, the game against the Flyers, which is probably best for his own safety, and the game against the Bruins. So, him being out there is the best thing for him. It's the best thing for the Caps, and for him to be missing these games because he was stupid and caused them the loss is something that, if he didn't get suspended, I would hope that Oates would have actually held him out a game to teach him a lesson.
Yeah, hopefully he's able to keep his emotions under control. I mean, this isn't the first time he's let his anger kind of get the best of him, because he did shove a referee, I think, a year or two ago. But this is his first offense, so two games, I guess, is kind of fair for what he did, because it was a really dumb play, a very dangerous play. But he's not known to board a guy, you know, all the time or something like that. So
he's not a dirty player. He just got in over his head, not over his head, but he let the emotions get the best of him and just did something really stupid because he was mad at somebody, lit him up.
Yeah, so hopefully these two games will kind of help this guy out. And even though we know Orlov pretty well, he's been in the league on and off for, what, 3 years now? You know, he's still kind of inexperienced at the NHL level. He's been up and down between the Bears and the Capitals. And so he's still got to learn, you know, keep those kind of emotions, you know, where they're supposed to be. Don't get too angry and you know, play the game you're supposed to play, even if you did get lit up yourself. I mean, you gotta keep yourself in check. So hopefully he's gonna figure that out over the next couple days.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna sit out for two games, and Oates, I'm sure, is gonna be talking to him about what he did wrong. I'm sure he already has. I mean, Oates even called him out, I think, after the game for doing something stupid, and he deserves it because it was a dumb play. And, you know, I'm hoping a couple of the guys gave him a hard time for doing something because he knows he made a mistake. And I mean, in the end, they just moved past it. You know, I don't think it wasn't malicious. You know, he's not a player that's going to go out. He's not Avery or Steve Downey or any one of these guys that was just, you know, they're out there to make a name for themselves and try and hurt people. I mean, especially a guy like Steve Downey, who's just a complete, you know what, bag. So just, you know, Orlov made a big mistake, and the Capitals are going to have to overcome it. So it's nice to see that Hillin is back to be able to cover for him. I mean, I guess you could have Brulette or Way or one of those guys, maybe even, not really. I guess you could have Alexi come up, and you'd have to go through waivers again to sort of fill in for him. But they have Hillin back. But like you were saying, you know, a little earlier, that Hillin is not their answer on defense. You know, it can't be a situation, nor is Klesla, really. I think Klesla would be a better fit than Hillin right now, but I guess we'll sort of see where that goes. I think Klesla's a better fit than Erskine right now and Connor Carrick. So I mean, we'll see. McPhee's work is not done. He's still got to go out and find a defenseman, not just because Orlov made a mistake. Orlov's playing too many minutes as it is. He should be. I mean, he's been playing well. He was having a great game against the Flyers. He had two goals, looking for a hat trick. I mean, he was playing probably the best game of his career when he made that stupid mistake. So then, I mean, we'll go and we'll see what sort of happens in the, I guess, tomorrow. But McPhee still needs to go out and acquire a defenseman to play with Mike Green. Then you can have Orlov playing on the third pairing, little less minutes, less pressure, you know, so he can go out and play better and not have to focus as much on making the big, big play because he just isn't going up against a team's top line or anything like that.
Yeah, so very interested to see what happens here. So let's go back, talk about the games that happened this past week for the Capitals. We've brought this up probably every show this season, probably every show last season. Here we are again. It's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. This team can't get away from that stigma. The games coming back after the Olympics, I saw a team that cannot play 60 minutes. They just can't get 60 minutes of play out there. They keep losing 2-point leads. We have a team that looks brilliant at the beginning and then towards the end kind of fizzles out and kind of gets tired, and that's about it. Obviously, George McPhee's trying to make some of these changes. Whether these moves are going to be the best one, you know, we'll see in due time. But this past week has been kind of a dark day for the Caps because they've looked brilliant at some points, and then once again, they look absolutely terrible.
So basically, they look like the Washington Capitals, is what you're trying to say. I mean, they went 2-0-1. Should have been 3-0. They were able to beat Florida, even though that was sort of that game, just like you were talking about, where they looked great, and then they let the Panthers back in the game, and they were able to sort of escape with a win. I thought they actually played very well against Boston. They almost dominated most of that game. They actually played a great game, and we should be saying the same thing about the Flyers game. I think they played well up until the end, but that 5-minute major to Orlov really killed them. So while they should have gone 3-0 and gotten the full 6 points, they came away with 5 points, which isn't terrible in the end, but just to see the sort of the way they lost that final point and the fact that they really needed those two standings points and to not give anything to the Flyers hurts them in the end, because now what they were 2 points after that game against Philly. They're 2 points behind them in the standings, and so they really need to start making up these points and not giving things away. So I think Wednesday's game is a huge game against the Flyers. They need both of those points and cannot go into overtime and give any points back to Philly. And then Thursday against Boston also is going to be huge.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really going to worry me about this team stretching out into the playoffs are these overtime games. These points that they're just giving away to the other team, whatever they're facing. I mean, I think that's going to come and bite them in the ass in the end because it's going to be a very close race. I mean, I don't know how many teams in the Eastern Conference have a chance to actually make the playoffs. I don't don't think anyone is mathematically eliminated yet, except for maybe Buffalo. but all those teams are vying for at least the final spot in the Eastern Conference. So the Capitals, they can't give anything away now. Like you said it last week, every single game from here on out is a playoff game because you can't give those points away. Every single point matters at this point because it's kind of like the lockout season that we had last year, is that it was a shortened season and you were already playing like you were playing in the playoffs in 48 games because you didn't have as much time to catch up or to keep the other teams on your tails.
No, not at all. I mean, was it the statistic we were talking about last week was something like 23 of their final remaining games or something like 21 of their final 23 games are against teams that are in playoff position. So it's not going to be easy games. You need to steal points from these teams and gain ones yourselves. So every game from here on out does have to be played like it's a playoff game because otherwise you're not making the playoffs.
No, real quick, I want to go back to this trade stuff. This is kind of funny. Garrett Mitchell from the Hershey Bears just tweeted out, "Well, now that my heart has slowed down a bit, thought I'd let everyone know I'm still property of the Washington Capitals."
I just saw that too and wanted to I was waiting to throw that back, and it's actually a really funny line from the kid, because when that trade was announced, no one really knew if it was John Mitchell or Garrett Mitchell that was being traded. And we sit here, and the two of us and people who do podcasts all over and the people in the media, we sit here and we talk about, oh, it's a great silly season, everybody's getting traded, but these are still human beings, and it's tough for them to see, you know, whether they're having to pick up and move and be away from their families or move their families and for prospects to get moved around like this. And, you know, sometimes these guys don't find out from teams. They find out from the media. Or now with the way things are, they'll find out from Twitter that they potentially be traded. So to see a guy like Garrett Mitchell who, he's probably sitting at home or wherever, and he sees his name keep popping up on Twitter about being traded, and he's going, what? You know, what's going on? So that's tough thing to see, but it's nice to see this kid still is with the Caps, and you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, but, you know, he's kind of remember that these are still people, and it's tough to have to pick up and move.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So, anything else we should talk about the Caps games this past week? Anything that really made you excited for these Caps games? Is there anything that really stands out as a very strong point for the Capitals?
Their goaltending, much to apparently George McPhee's dismay or anybody else that tweets about how the Caps are acquiring goaltender. I thought Holtby actually played great for the most part of these past couple of games, and you know, I think he's definitely their guy going forward. I don't see any reason to go out and acquire a goalie whatsoever. You know, defensively, Carlson, Alzner have looked good. That's about it. Offensively, they've been okay. I mean, you've had some secondary scoring step up. I thought Brooks Lykes actually looked pretty good. He was playing on the first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. Maybe he's got something motivating him. I'm not quite sure what that may be. But, you know, and then they've got talent on the team. It's just a matter of finding the right guys that can go and work with them. And bringing in a guy like Dustin Penner, I thought was a great move to help them going forward. I think, you know, he's the kind of guy you want playing on that first line, especially with, you know, they have injuries to Grabowski, which I think would be something interesting. We don't know how long he's going to be out or if he's going to play tomorrow against the Flyers. And, you know, are they going to have to go out and acquire a center? Or do you just put Johansson into that spot until Grabowski is ready? It's nice to have Johansson still around in that sense because he can fill in on the center spot, even if Adam Oates views him better as a winger. But as for the past three games, I mean, there's definitely things to pull away from that make you feel good about where this team is going. But they got to stop with the whole second period, third period letdowns where they just sort of get unfocused. And you saw that against the Flyers where I think it was something after I can't remember exactly what the statistic was or what the timing was, but it was the Flyers were out shooting the Capitals 15-3 after like halfway through the second or their fourth goal in the second period or whatever it was, where it was just they were getting a shot ridiculous numbers. They got to keep up the pressure. They have to keep up the momentum because if they pull something like that in the playoffs, if they even make the freaking playoffs, they're going to be out in the first round.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of this Dustin Penner bring in. I'm really happy with that, this trade here. Because another big thing you got to think about, when I heard that Penner was brought in, I was like, all right, well, that pretty much seals up Erat's future with the Capitals. But also I was thinking, you know, Brooks Lykes, he sat out of practice today. Brooks Lykes is still a very big question mark for this team because you don't know if he can stay healthy or not. So I was like, all right, well, maybe Penner's kind of brought in so the load isn't as big on Brooks Lykes as well, so they can kind of give him time to heal up or whatever. It's kind of what they did last year with Erat, bringing him in because Brooks Lykes wasn't doing well and wasn't healing correctly. So this Penner deal, I mean, I'm a big fan of the guy, and I hope that he can help this team kind of stabilize a little bit more. And I do want to get Grabowski back in the line. We're definitely a better team with Grabowski in the line. I'm a huge fan of his, and I hope that the injury he has doesn't keep him off the ice very long. But I do like the fact that Marcus Johansson, like you said, can kind of step in for him and play as well, because it at least looks like George McPhee is making an effort to make this team better and at least get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think that's the big goal right now. This season, it seems like it's not to win the Stanley Cup, but to just make it to the playoffs for George McPhee.
Well, I think if that's his idea, then he's out at the end of the season. His contract is reportedly up at the end of the season. If his goal is just to make the playoffs and he should be gone, they got to bring someone else in that's going to be able to push this team, make the right moves to push them towards a cup, because just making the playoffs isn't enough, you know, in the end. But they got people coming in. They got, you know, super prospects potentially joining this team soon. They could have an interesting lineup problem with who's going to be playing where. But to go back to Brooks Laik, I mean, they said it was just a maintenance day, so hopefully he's good to go tomorrow night, because I don't think Kuznetsov is going to be over here just yet.
Yeah, that's a very good segue there, Coach Dan. Kuznetsov, RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, they have reported that he has played his final game with Tractor over in the KHL. They lost their final regular season game earlier this morning, and because of that, I think the team is Admiral, they are in that final eighth spot for the playoffs, so the Tractor is not making the playoffs at all. Now, to my understanding, the KHL holds a tournament for the loser teams, pretty much, so there's a chance that he could stay over there and play in there, but the KHL and Tractor team are reporting that Kuznetsov, the way they made it sound was that he packed up his locker and then got out on a plane immediately and was heading over to the U.S. that day. I don't know if it's going to work that quick, but right now Kuznetsov, I mean, he is at least it seems as if all signs point to him being in Washington sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a great guy to bring in. I know the reports are going sort of either way, that he still stick around for a while or that he's already on his way over here. I think the one of the things I saw was that he still has some paperwork he's probably going to have to deal with in regards, because I believe his contract – he still has a contract with Tractor over in the KHL. But, the coach, I believe, came out and said that he's okay with him leaving, and now it's just up to the owner, the general manager, whoever it is running Tractor, to be able to move him out and let him move on with his career, because it sounds like one way or another he's going to be coming over to the Washington Capitals, and hopefully he'll be playing soon. You know, with Grabowski out, the kid's not going to come in and be as good as, Ovechkin or something like that, even though he may have the potential. But, he's going to be a very good player. As long as he can stay healthy, he's going to be a very good player. It'll be interesting to see how long it takes him to get used to the NHL game. It's a smaller rink, I'm guessing a more physical game than he's probably used to. So it'll be interesting to see how long it takes him to get used to playing over here. Get in, we've seen guys that take a long time to understand Oates' system. So we'll see how long it takes Kuznetsov to understand the system, and having a fellow Russian like Ovechkin over here is definitely going to help him. Orlov to some extent, as long as he's not suspended again or something stupid like that. But having this kid come, I'm very excited to see this kid come over and play, because he's going to be as good, if not better, than Alexander Semin, but without the sort of headaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And so apparently he's going to be living with his wife in Ovechkin's house. So Ovechkin's definitely...
He's probably got a big house. I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue.
No, well, I mean, it at least seems as if Ovechkin's very inviting, making this guy feel welcome, making sure that he knows he's a part of the team. So that's really cool of the captain. But I got to say, it was pretty cool for Tractor. They knew that this was going to be Kuznetsov's last game, so they made him the captain for the game. So that's a very nice send-off to the guy. And Kuznetsov donated a Zamboni, or an ice resurfacer. I don't know if it was the brand name Zamboni, to Tractor as well. So that's pretty cool. So it's kind of like, we'll make you the captain if you give us an ice resurfacer Zamboni in exchange. So definitely seems like this guy is at least leaving on a high after not making the Olympic team, which may have been a blessing in disguise, really, for the way
healthy.
Yeah, for the what has happened to Russia over there. I mean, and he's had two injuries or whatever, so it at least seems as if he's healthy right now. He didn't have to worry. The Olympic worry for him is off his shoulders, and he can completely focus on this team now. So the ice size, I mean, we saw what happened to John Carlson when he had the bigger ice surface, you know, playing in the Olympics. He let that first goal in the Russia game kind of go by him. So maybe getting used to the smaller rink, Kuznetsov is going to have some time getting used to that, as well as Oates' system. But I don't know what he's going to do. If he's over here at the end of April or something like that, maybe he goes and plays in the Hershey Bears for a couple games. We saw Tom Wilson go to the Hershey Bears last year during the playoffs for the AHL. So right now it's we don't know what he's going to do, but it at least seems as if he's going to be stateside soon. Where he lands, whether it be Hershey or the Capitals in Washington, we don't know. But if he's going to be partying with an Ovechkin and his family, it at least seems like the welcome wagon's here. It's just literally getting him on the ice at Kettler before anybody can do anything concrete.
Well, he'll be at Kettler one way or another. It's all a matter of when he'll be able to play on the team. And it'll be interesting to see what they put everybody. Well, I mean, with the acquisition of Penner. Okay, let's throw out lineups real quick. You put Penner on the left, I guess, with Backstrom and Ovechkin. So let's say you have Johansson. Let's say Grabowski's healthy. So you have Johansson, Grabowski, Brower. Third line, they've got Chimera, Fair, Ward. Fourth line, they've got Wilson, Beagle, and I'm blanking on who.
Volpatty.
Thank you. Volpatty. Okay, so now you bring in Kuznetsov. Where are you going to play him? Do you go out and you put him on the second line, so who gets bumped back one? Do you, and not to mention, I didn't even mention Brooks Like, so where is he going to be playing? You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. Where's Kuznetsov going to play? Where's Like going to play? I mean, I know someone was throwing out possibilities today on lineups, and you could see something along the lines of, you know, Penner, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Grabowski, Brower, basically to the point that Tom Wilson and Volpatty would both not be in the lineup anymore, which I don't think would be the best thing for Tom Wilson right now. And Volpatty, I know you like Volpatty, but the guy probably shouldn't be playing every night if this team wants to be winning. Pretty soon we're going to see Casey Wilson get sent back down to Hershey. So that's not really a problem. Casey Wellman, not Casey Wilson. I don't know who Casey Wilson is. That's not a real player. I said that and I was like, that's not his name. What is wrong with you? You know, it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do. I mean, are you going to go and you're going to bench Tom Wilson, or who's going to move out so Kuznetsov and Penner and the like and Brower can all play? I think the interesting thing will be to pay attention on Wednesday, that being tomorrow, before 3 o'clock when the trading deadline is, to see if any of these roster players on the Capitals get moved out. Because otherwise, Oates is going to have a fun problem, but a problem on his hands in deciding who is going to be playing every night and who is not, and how he's going to sort of manage those things going forward.
I got a feeling something big is going to happen. I don't know what it is, but
after Penner, like, how much bigger can it get? Don't you get a goalie, George.
I have a feeling that we're going to see one of the big names kind of take off from the Capitals. Who that might be, I don't know. Who's got value right now? I mean, we'll see what happens down the road. You know, I've said this before, and I don't think they're going to move either of these guys, but to me, Brooks Like and Troy Brower are the same player. Like, they have the same kind of style. They both are kind of – they're not the greatest. They're not the worst. They're just kind of, you know, they're good, hardworking guys. I would be okay with one of them kind of leaving town and getting something in exchange for that, because they just remind me so much of each other. I feel like you don't need two players so alike on this team. But who's to say what'll happen? But that would be my pick. If you're going to move anybody out, is move out one of those guys. I can see Johansson leaving town as well. I mean, he's a very talented guy. He's a silver medalist in the Olympics, so he might have some value there. Maybe if Johansson goes to somebody like I don't know. I don't even know who. Maybe a team like the Rangers or something like that. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I kind of wish that we could do a live show tomorrow during work hours, when the deadline comes approaching. But to me, I have a feeling somebody of the Capitals that has a lot of jersey tees out there at Verizon Center on game night, I have a feeling one big player is going to be leaving town.
I mean, I could see someone on the roster being moved out. I don't know if it's going to be Johansson necessarily. I think Oates is a fan of his. You know, you could see something like Brooks Like or Troy Brower potentially being dealt, but I don't know if they're going to do that during the season. You know, if they want to be nice to Brooks Like, they can trade him to L.A. so he can be closer to his woman. That might be nice for him.
His woman.
What would we say, man? So, you know, but it's tough to say which one of these guys is going to get moved out. You could see someone like Volpatti or even Jay Beagle being moved out. And then you can sort of move a couple of those guys back, like Ward or Chimera, onto the fourth line to put a little more offense into the top part of your lineup. So I'm interested to see who gets moved out. If they don't move anybody out, then your guess is as good as mine as to what is going to happen with this lineup when Kuznetsov comes over and Grabowski is healthy. The thing is, they got to get everybody healthy, get everybody at Kettler, and then we'll see how the lineup sort of fills out.
Yeah, so hey, it'll be a fun 24 hours from now, and we'll see what happens at this trade deadline, and we'll see what happens in the next game up against Philadelphia. So big stuff happening for the Caps, man. We talked a long time about the Capitals tonight. Did we? Is there any way that we missed anything?
Well, just a couple.
We did miss things. Okay,
we missed a few things. Congrats to Captain Alex Ovechkin on scoring 800 career NHL points this past Saturday in the win over Boston. I thought that was pretty awesome for him and for Caps fans everywhere. We finally have a player that is just ridiculously talented after years of having really good players, but not quite anybody that is a superstar level. Also, we talked about earlier, Caps recalled Jack Hillen from Hershey after his conditioning stint, and he expects to play on Wednesday against the Flyers, but we'll see. Maybe he'll get traded tomorrow. You never know. And then the Caps also sent down Nicholas Deschamps, who I thought was okay as a fill-in, but you know, this guy's not an NHL player, at least not right now, and so we'll see what happens with him in the future. But that's pretty much all of the Caps' sort of basic news and notes from the past week. But yeah, tomorrow should be fun.
Yeah, definitely should be fun. Hopefully I can be in my office, just stay on Twitter all day. We'll see what happens, though. All right, well, if that's it for what's going on in Caps world, we're going to go up 83. But before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, Caps fans, we talked about this last week. I'm going to tell you about it all again. Section 336, a Baltimore Orioles podcast on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. They're having their first live show to celebrate their one-year anniversary as a podcast. Make sure you come out Sunday, March 16th at 8 p.m. in Arnold, Maryland at Mother's Peninsula Grill. They're going to do a live episode of Section 336. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be an audio and video event. All kinds of good stuff. There's going to be great food, and you get to hang out with a bunch of podcasters. Podcasters helping podcasters, man. I love that idea. I did say this last week, but apparently I am wrong. The Walking Dead will not be over by March 16th. But guys, that's what DVRs are for, man. That's what DVRs are for. Just stay off Twitter for like an hour or two. You'll be fine. The show starts at 8 p.m., okay? They'll do a show, and then you can catch the ending of The Walking Dead when you come home, all right? So that's okay. Section 336. Year one live show, Sunday, March 16th, 8 p.m. at Mother's Peninsula Grill in Arnold, Maryland. Make sure you check these guys out on Facebook, and make sure you say you are going to their event. You can check them out, facebook.com/section336. 1 year anniversary show, man. Congrats, guys. Live show, live podcast, nothing better than that. We will see you guys there on March 16th. All right, here we go, guys. We are going up 83. We are talking Hershey Bears. We're talking Reading Royals. Coach Dan, what's going on in Chocolate Town?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 0-2-1 and are currently enduring a 6-game losing streak. So whatever's going on in Hershey is not good. They currently sit at 4th in the East Division with 65 points, 5 back of first place Binghamton. They are 9th in the Eastern Conference standing, 2 points behind Wilkes-Barre Scranton for the 8th spot in the playoffs. So they are on the outside looking in, going a 6-game losing streak, which is ridiculous. So they need to start putting some wins together just like the Capitals to make sure that they can get back into the playoff race and to be playing in some Calder Cup hockey in the future. Now, Reading, on the other hand, went 3-0 with wins over Elmira, South Carolina, and Wheeling. Why can't both these teams be doing good at the same time? Why is it got to be one or the other? Reading currently sits at first in the Atlantic Division with 68 points and are fourth in the Eastern Conference. So they are right smack dab in the middle of the playoff race, doing a good job. Keep everything going up there in Reading. And Royals goalie Brandon Anderson was named the CCM ECHL Goalie of the Week. Right. He won both games he played in, going with a 0.5 GAA and a 0.985 save percentage. That is pretty good. So congratulations to him. That's the past week in minor league hockey.
He's got a great first name. He really does. we're doing this show a little bit early, but I am very intrigued of if the Reading Royals will be putting out a St. Paddy's Day jersey.
Oh, God.
And if they do, I can't wait to hear your reaction. Because last year, with the Royals logo, wearing a leprechaun hat, made me laugh. But if they do post a photo, we'll post it on the Facebook page.
And I'm paying $500.
And I'll see what Coach Dan has to say about that one. So if that's pretty much it for Up 83, now it's time to go around the NHL. All right, well, plenty of stuff going on. Big trades, little talk. Stadium Series still going on. Actually, I think it finally finished this past Saturday and Sunday. Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, with the silly season upon us, and with the trading deadline being tomorrow, that's Wednesday, at 3 p.m., general managers got started a little early. Aside from the Caps deals, the trades were pretty big, and the first one was actually on Friday. Longtime Buffalo goalie Ryan Miller, along with Steve Ott, were dealt to St. Louis in exchange for Yaroslav Halak, Chris Stewart, prospect William Carrier, and a first-round pick in the 2015 NHL draft. Although that was probably the biggest trade, and it was great for Caps fans because all the Ryan Miller to Washington rumors could stop. But then you know who was mentioned next coming to Washington as the goalie? Roberto Luongo. Well, that's also not going to happen because Florida ended up getting him back, as well as Steven Anthony for goalie Jakob Markstrom, who was the one-time future number one for Florida. I was very surprised he got traded. And for forward Sean Mathias. So Florida has brought Luongo back. So that's two goalies the Caps were linked with that both are not coming to Washington. Thank God. Now, our favorite goaltender of all time, crazy goalie Ilya Brizgalov, he was traded to Edmonton from Minnesota for a fourth-round pick in the upcoming draft. Edmonton acquired goalie Victor Feth from Anaheim for a fifth in this year's draft and a third in next year's. A lot of goalies are getting moved. I don't know what's going on there. Brizgalov and Feth both were not mentioned as going to the Capitals, just so everybody knows. The Islanders sent defenseman Andrew McDonald to Philly for a prospect, a third-round pick in 2014, and a second-round pick in 2015. Defenseman Stefan Robida was sent from Dallas to Anaheim for a conditional fourth-round pick. Anaheim was busy today, let me tell you. They were trading everybody and bringing everybody in. Florida sent defenseman Mike Weaver to Montreal for a fifth-round pick in the 2015 draft. And Chicago brought in defenseman David Runblad and Matthew Brisebois from Phoenix for a second-round pick. So even the day before the draft, before the trading deadline, we got a million people getting moved around. So it's been pretty crazy stuff. Tomorrow, hopefully, will be even more exciting. Hopefully, the guys haven't all sort of they haven't made all their trades today, and then nothing happens tomorrow because that would just be really anticlimactic. Now, other than trades, we do have some other just generic NHL news. Carolina signed goalie Anton Khudobin to a 2-year, $4.5 million extension. Minnesota goalie Nicholas Backstrom is likely out for the rest of the season with a lower body injury. That could explain why they went out and brought in Brizgalov. And there are rumors that Minnesota may be after longtime Devils goalie and future Hall of Famer Martin Brodeur. Colorado signed forward Marc-Andre Cliche to a 2-year extension. Terms were not disclosed. The Rangers signed defenseman Jan Girardi to a reported 6-year, $33 million extension. I thought I turned my ringer off, and apparently I did not. Good job, me.
Hey, we're talking money, man. Money's going on.
Money, and you're getting the coin sound. Just reached up, hit a block, got a coin. Edmonton signed goalie Ben Scrivens to a 2-year extension worth a reported total of $4.6 million. That's all of the money news. In other news, Pat LaFontaine, he has resigned as president of hockey operations of the Buffalo Sabres just under 5 months after he took the job. He will return to working for the NHL. Now, rumor is he wanted to re-sign Ryan Miller, and the GM decided to instead. Tim Murray decided to trade Ryan Miller, and I guess LaFontaine wasn't very happy with that and decided to resign as president of hockey operations up in Buffalo. Sabres struggling just a little bit. Vancouver will induct former head coach Pat Quinn into their Ring of Honor. He was their head coach during their 1994 run to the Cup Final versus the Rangers, which they eventually lost. And finally, in some weird news, it has been a very strange week for goalie Corey Crawford. First, he had his goalie mask stolen. Then, someone stole his goalie pads. I don't know if the guys in Chicago are playing a really good prank on him, but somebody leave Corey Crawford alone. Stop it, okay? He has a brand new mask. Somebody stole it. Now you're stealing his pads. The guy's just being mean and picking on him, but it's actually pretty crazy and pretty funny stuff. That's all the news for the past week in the NHL.
Yeah, before we hang it up for this show, I do want to talk to you about this, man. Roberto Luongo going to Florida just a couple years ago. Could you imagine a goalie duo such as Roberto Luongo and Tim Thomas? Now, both of these guys, they haven't had – I mean, Tim Thomas took off last year. Roberto Luongo, of course, has struggled in the last few years. But could you imagine what a coup it would have been maybe in like the 2012 or 2011 season to get these both on the same team? I mean, that would be like an unthinkable duo just a couple of years ago.
I mean, yeah, a couple of years ago, these are the two of the top goaltenders in the NHL. And I think the funniest part of this is that last year they were talking about who is Vancouver going to trade, Luongo or Corey Schneider. And now both of them are no longer on that team. I think Vancouver appears to be in sell mode, and I would just love it if McPhee could go out and get Alexander Edler from the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, the Canucks definitely seem as if they're trying to restructure, I guess, is the easiest thing to say.
They're in retool mode?
Yeah. I've heard that Ryan Kesler is rumored to want out of Vancouver, and he might be making some moves around. Do you think the Capitals would go after him for any reason?
I would find that hard to believe that he would be coming to D.C. just because I don't – I'd be interested to see what they would send back. I think with the Grabowski's injury, there may be some need at bringing in a center, but you know, it's tough to say that they would be able to go out and get Kesler. There is a rumor that Kesler was asked if he would waive his no trade clause to move to the Rangers, and he said no. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets moved tomorrow. I mean, he's another guy that also has some injury trouble. So you know, the Caps have enough guys right now that have potential injury problems. Let's not bring in anybody else. If they're going to go out and acquire a player, I want to see someone who can show that they can stay healthy. And I think they're good forwards-wise, at least right now. You know, I'd like to see them go out and bring in a defenseman. That's the biggest thing tomorrow is McPhee needs to go out and needs to find a defenseman. Alexander Edler, please. Someone who can go and play with Mike Green to be able to help this team forward. Someone who can play defensively next to Mike Green, because we know Mike Green can't.
Yeah, so
not well, anyways.
I would like to see Ryan Kesler here, just because again, he seems like a goofball that would really get along with a lot of the guys in the locker room. I mean, he's famous for video bombing, you know, interviews. I would love to see him do that. We saw I think it was Brooks Like or Carl Alsner was video bombing Troy Brower in the last interview he did for Monumental Sports. So. He's a guy I think would get along with the locker room. Of course, it's all about play, but at least it seems like he's the type of guy that would get along with those guys. But, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I highly doubt Ryan Kesler will come to D.C. It's kind of like one of the pipe dreams I have, like Patrick Kane.
If they didn't have Grabowski, I could see them potentially trying to make a move for him. But with Grabowski on the team, Johansson, like guys who can fill in on that spot, it's tough to say that you'd make a move to go get Kesler, unless you're sending like or Johansson the other way.
I would be okay with that, but you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Man, do we have a lot of hockey to talk about before next week? There's a lot of games going on, man. So let's go over this real quick. Wednesday, March 5th, the Capitals, they will be up against the Flyers. They will be in Philadelphia in the city of brotherly love. That game is at 8 p.m., and that will be on NBC Sports Network. That is Wednesday night, rivalry night. Of course, I don't think anyone's going to hear this before 10 o'clock tonight, but the NHL Rivals show that's on NBC Sports, it kind of goes over the rivalry for the Capitals and the Flyers. I think it replays tomorrow before the rivalry game. If you get a chance to watch that, check it out. I've loved that series this entire season, so that's been really interesting to watch. Real quick, did you watch the Sochi Olympic special for NHL Revealed?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
It's really good. If you get a chance, check it out. It was very interesting because you get to go inside the little Olympic Village and see all the stuff that these guys did coming together, because so many different teams coming together to represent your country. It's actually really interesting. So I really enjoyed watching that. Let's keep going. Thursday, March 6th, Capitals, they will be in Boston against the Bruins, 7 o'clock start, Comcast Sportsnet, where you can view that locally. Saturday, March 8th, the Coyotes up against the Capitals. The Capitals will be home, 7 o'clock start.
The return of Martin Erat.
Not just Martin Erat, but we're also going to have Mike Ribeiro and Jeff Halpern.
Halpern coming back is cool. The other ones, who cares?
Yeah, we're going to have a nice family reunion that night for those three guys coming back to D.C., which, by the way, if anybody out there is listening, they're going to be at Saturday's game. I will be there Saturday, March 8th. I will be in Suite 311, if you can believe that. I will be there for the game. It is my aunt's 50th birthday that day. And she has never been to a Caps game before, and she wanted to do all new stuff she's never done before for her 50th, and she's going to her first live Caps game on her birthday. So that's pretty cool. Happy birthday to her as well. The big 5-0. Then, two games before we talk next Wednesday. Big ones here. Monday, March 10th, Penguins come to D.C., up against the Capitals, 7 o'clock start. That game will be national on the NHL Network as well as Comcast Sportsnet locally here. Then on Tuesday, March 11th, the Capitals go to Pittsburgh up against the Penguins, back-to-back games. 7:30, that game will be on NBC Sports. And then we're talking again March 12th here on What the Puck. So a lot of games going on, man. We've got 5 games in the span of a week. So that's going to be really busy. We got Flyers, Bruins, Coyotes, Penguins. A lot of great teams in there. We got to keep these points away from these Eastern Conference teams, Flyers, Bruins, and Penguins. So big stuff, big test coming by here for the Capitals. We'll see how these new guys kind of work out for these guys. We'll see who gets traded in the next 24 hours, if anybody else new comes in. But must-win games in between now and next Wednesday.
Yeah, I think every game between now and the end of the season is a must-win game. So if they don't, if they go and they, you know, take this game against, well, it's against Phoenix, it's not as big a deal because they play in the West. That's not the case, because you need every point that you can get if you want to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. So plenty of hockey going on. I hope you guys are going to dig it throughout the next week. A lot of great games, a lot of great opponents. There's always been good games against the Flyers and against the Bruins, and especially against the Penguins, one of the biggest rivals, even though they've kind of whooped us a lot this past season. So if you want to continue to talk hockey with Coach Dan or I, we are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network over there. You can get information about this show and all the other shows in the Brando Cash Network. We got some stuff coming up within the next week or so, hopefully, that we'll be able to announce over there. So make sure you like the network there. The show is actually on Facebook and Twitter as well, facebook.com/WTP podcast, 2 P's in that title. Like us over there and follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast. So we're always announcing something over there. Make sure you're social with the show, man. Let people know what's going on. Let people know that you are a Caps fan. You listen to What the Puck, and they should too. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and anywhere where you are social on the web. Be social with What the Puck and let people know to listen to What the Puck as well. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, What the Puck, caps.brandocash.com, and capshill.com. So don't want to hear that you don't know how to listen to us. There's so many different ways. You pick whatever most is convenient for you, and it is free. That's the best part, too. You don't get charged a thing to download or stream our show. It's easy. It's free stuff. What in 2024? What's free anymore? Nothing, man. Nothing's free anymore. Get something for free. Treat yourself to What the Puck. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. 5 games coming up. Plenty of stuff to talk about next week. So until then, we're saying it loud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.